5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here's your jam, Barry.
That is not on my list,
that
Nick.
Is on your list.
You're a damn lie.
Do not fib to our listeners.
No, you are... That's not fair.
It's Raining Men.
You are
talking about my gay music.
I hate you so much. That is not on my list of songs. You don't. But you better play my damn song.
This is your jam. This is on your list.
This may or may not be on a playlist, but this was not on my list. This was not my selection. You know that.
All right.
My favorite 80s song of all time was my very first one. Play it. Hell yeah. If you can't get down to this, we can't be friends. Oh,
another
that's good
MTV
stuff.
Video, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love this song. Now in the street there is violence. That's so good. So good. Raining Men.
And by the way, Juggalo Trey with another random fact that shows you what he can bring to the table. Fun fact, Paul Schaefer wrote It's Raining Men.
Wow. Had no idea.
Paul Schaefer, the longtime keyboardist and the leader of the Letterman band, David Letterman band.
I was always suspicious.
Yeah, that kind of defines it.
Doesn't surprise
I'm
me.
I'm always impressed with Trey's history because as a youngin, he's pretty good.
His trivial knowledge.
He's not bad at all.
Crazy, man. Wild, crazy, Dave. Wow.
So Joel has tweeted the picture of him and Shaq. And the debate rages on, is it more Top Gun or more Color Me Bad? I've retweeted it as well. You can go at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter with a K. At Barry is funny or at the producer Nick. Any of us have it if you follow any or all of us. I want to know.
Top Gun's leading early.
Is it leading? Okay. Know. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Let's get some calls. Liv, who has called in before, wants to talk about the MVP race. What's up?
Yo, what's up, gentlemen?
What's up, Liv?
Hey, so, Nick, your playlist is fancy. Nothing great about that.
You said Nick's playlist is fancy?
Fancy.
It's fancy, Nick.
Fancy. Hands to the chest, left wrist, fancy.
That's not nice. That's not nice, Liv.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
That's good stuff, Liv. Go ahead, man.
So I was thinking of, so I never heard that thought process that Lamont gave about the MVP race. So that is interesting to hear that. However, I would say this. We know it's not the most valuable player. It's just like who's ever having an outstanding season award. And that's fine. Only a portion of it we think about who's the most valuable. And I mean very little of a portion. So if you took Harden off the Rockets, they'd be the Lakers. But if you took him out just the point guard spot, they'd probably be the Bucks. So... I mean, the real MVP is probably D'Antoni.
It's a great call. And he should win Coach of the Year, too.
Exactly. Now, with that being said, how can you ignore averaging a triple-double for the season? I don't know how you reward somebody. I thought Harden should have won it when Steph beat him, but Steph was crazy that year. He was doing stuff we'd never seen. How do you not? You have to reward him with an MVP. And I don't know how... Westbrook can go all year long just 110% every night doing what he's doing, crazy, and you just, if you're a basketball fan, you love it. You have to reward him some type of way because they're not going far in the playoffs. It's just like, hey, hand it to him already because it's, you just feel like he deserves it.
Now, Liv, are you going to be okay if Harden gets the MVP and, you know, Westbrook gets the player vote? Remember how that happened with Steph and Harden? Steph got the MVP and Harden got the whatever the Player's Choice Award.
Yeah, exactly.
That, I mean, are you guys okay with that? If Harden, you know, wins the MVP, but that's Westbrook, are you good with that?
See, to me, there's not as much luster as winning the actual MVP award. And again, and Nick, you might have a different opinion. I think those awards are just for the extra money that they can bring in with the show because they do an award show now. It's like right after the finals.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that trophy and everybody knows what it looks like and everybody knows how prestigious it is. When they look at Hall of Fame voting, they don't go if the player vote got you that year as player of the year. They look at if you got that MVP trophy. I just think that's the big deal.
Yeah. I think they really do need to, and I know I'm not the one that invented this idea, but they need to have two awards, and they need to start to hype the other award just as much and make it just as important as MVP. But they really do need the best player and the most valuable. And because there is a big distinction. Now, you may end up seeing LeBron win it every year, but let's be real. That should probably be the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can look at value and assess it differently than you look at best. Because if we're talking best player in the NBA, I think Harden might be fourth in the conversation in most cases, maybe third. But he's certainly not, you know what I mean? You might get some, I mean, you know, LeBron, then Durant or Steph or Westbrook. I mean,
Kawhi.
Harden, Kawhi. There's guys that are going to be in front of him. But when you talk about value, Kawhi doesn't have as much value because he's also got LaMarcus Aldridge on his team. LeBron's got Kyrie and Kevin Love. So I think they should push for that because although it would make radio a lot more boring.
I'm okay with Russell Westbrook getting screwed if he doesn't get it. I don't think he is. And this might be the red Kool-Aid, flowing right now. But the problem is, it's not the first time someone has gotten screwed out of an MVP award. James Harden, as you mentioned, 2 years ago. Shaq has been very vocal, although he does kind of make it a fun situation about Steve Nash getting that MVP. It happens. I don't think we have to give him the MVP just because he averaged a triple-double or broke a record. I just don't believe it. I don't put that much weight into it. I know the national media does. I know the fans are. And I think the other thing is, if you talk about people who are looking at James Harden as a potential MVP, independent of the Oklahoma fan base and independent of the Houston fan base, I think they're going to give it to Westbrook.
I agree.
And I think that's the biggest problem.
I think that's what I was saying, and that's why even in the people that I ask, that's why it comes up that way, because we're living in the bubble of seeing what James is doing every night and also feeling the pressure that the Rockets fans are putting every night that this should be his, and they're very offended when you mention Russell Westbrook's name. But if you look at it from a national perspective and you take yourself out of those two windows that you mentioned, OKC and out of Houston, and you look at it from a grand perspective, that's why I keep saying, just to kind of brace the Rockets fans for, hey, it's not that anybody's saying they want this to happen, but if you're looking at it from a national perspective, and again, I gave you a little extra info that not many people know the other day. It used to be where guys that cover the team as announcers had votes. This year, they're not going to have those votes. It's going to go all to the national people and the people covering the league. That doesn't help James Harden.
Yeah.
But I also say, Barry and I were talking about this coming up the elevator today. It's just like when we talk about Hall of Fame candidacy and football. It's a passing game now. It used to be, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, a running league, right? And that's why the running backs and it was such a pounded out league, and that's why numbers were down. Now you look at all the inflated numbers in the passing game and all the receivers that have all these monster numbers and all the quarterbacks that have, you know, 60, 80,000 yards passing. It's because it's a different game. There's a reason why this year, for the first time in God knows how long, even for LeBron James, and you were talking about LeBron James, Barry, this is his most triple-doubles in a year in the history of his career, and it's not even close. So the game has changed, the style of play has changed, the tempo has changed, and that's allowing a lot of players that you wouldn't even think in a million years would get one triple-double. Look at Nurkic and Jokic, and guys like that are putting up triple-doubles. So it waters it down a little bit. So you can say what you want, and you can go back and forth, but as much as you're giving credit to a guy for the first time since 61-62 for doing averaging a triple-double, devil's advocate could also say, well, it's a style of play this year, unlike any other that we've seen in the history of the game, and offenses through the roof, and tempo as fast as it's ever been, allows guards to get more rebounds, allows numbers to go all over the place, allows more assists to be had because more points are being scored per minute. So it, again, you're looking at it from, you can look at it from a million different ways.
Yeah. I don't know what to add because you nailed it on the whole thing that we talked about.
That's one thing we hadn't mentioned before, but you and I were talking about it before the show. I mean, it's not that you could, it's almost watered down compared to the way it used to be because it isn't a science anymore. It's how many points can you score in 48 minutes as fast as you can?
Yep.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think if they really did add some sort of criteria that there still wouldn't be discussion of, oh, that guy got screwed on MVP?
I mean, I
still think it would happen.
There's always going to be discussion. This is a debatable award. There is no concrete formula that says you get this much, this much, this much, and you win this award.
Right.
But it allows you to have that distinction between value and what's the other word? Between the value of a player to their team and their skill level compared to the rest of the players in the NBA. Because that right now, that's being combined, and I don't know that that's accurate
or fair. Overall productivity as opposed to how valuable they are to their team.
And the reason why I mention it, because you look at, and this, and I know this is kind of going off topic, but you look at the BCS before they made their transition into the 14 playoff. They went away with a system that had a criteria, but a system that got it wrong, what? During its time, I want to say, I don't think many people, if you go back to the BCS, how many times did they get it wrong? A lot of people say not many times. It wasn't really that wrong. But they still steered away from a criteria-based system, and they went to a 14 playoff. That's why I just don't think that having a criteria is going to make that much of a difference. It's always going to be debatable. It's always going to be, oh, that guy got screwed. He didn't get screwed. And I could be completely wrong. Well, but
in an era now where we're getting into analytics, when you could start talking about wins per replacement for the team, when you can start talking about team wins and losses when they're, you know, and statistics when they're on and off the court, I think you could break it down to say, because look, the only thing that makes this more complex is if you took those guys, the two guys that you're talking about for MVP, I don't think either team's a playoff team if you took them off of them.
I agree with that.
I don't think OKC or the Rockets are a playoff team if you take James Harden and Westbrook off their respective
teams. So if that's a wash, then who has the better record?
I see, and there you go.
We got this text that said, make them play for it. Make them play one-on-one.
Well, James would have to play defense.
Winner gets the MVP. That would be that would be badass. I'm not going to lie. What if they waited like a month after the season ends and just say, all right, we take the top two vote-getters and they play for the award? That would be sweet.
In a game of horse.
Till one of them blows a knee or an Achilles and the general manager cries bloody murder.
Chris in Beaumont wants to know, what's our Way Back Wednesday theme for next week? I think we just threw it out there, and I think we'll go with it. Movie.
Or soundtracks.
Yeah, soundtracks.
Movie soundtracks, right?
Yeah. So Barry's already taken. We know what his soundtrack will be, but if you guys want to join in, then next week we'll do Way Back Wednesday.
Scrooston has a new cider from the Cummings Company.
Ah, jeez. And on that note, Frankie did go to Hollywood, and this was on your list.
Yeah. This is the one that I kind of was like, you know what? It's so good.
Because when you were talking before about looking up anthems.
Yeah, but I said, when we were going to get food, I said I didn't want to use anything from last week, but this is one of the ones that was near and dear to my heart.
So. Hang in there, Clarence. We see you on the call screen.
Yeah.
For real.
So when we get back, it'll be, hey guys, how y'all doing? And a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
telling you, we do need a studio camera for a lot of reasons.
I would still dance if there was a live camera in here. I wouldn't care.
Dance Fever with Barry Laminack.
These people out here can judge me all they want. I don't care.
This is a good
pick. This is a solid pick right here.
Huh?
I say that every day when we're in studio.
That's the only thing about reggae music, though, that I find really cheap is that womp, womp, womp.
Catchy for everybody, isn't it?
It's so easy.
It's true, but it's catchy.
Literally, you don't even need a chord. You could literally do a single key on the keyboard and be like, burr, 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 burr. That's it. It's so easy. I think the people are speaking and they're split down the middle between Color Me Bad and Top Gun. We're getting a lot of text for Color Me Bad.
Shocking.
I'm just reporting the facts. Someone said that hair looks like a G.I. Joe doll. That was Matt and Katie who said that.
That was the Top Gun look. Yeah. This is the chill drunk song.
Chill drunk?
Yeah, when you're not like... You're not like going to the club, or you're just kind of you're not out with an agenda while you're drinking. You're just kind of chilling, laid back, relaxing. This is the kind of song that you get drunk to.
It's a good song. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those ones. If you're in a bad mood, I recommend you put this on in the car, roll the window down, and relax.
This is UB40, it'll help right?
You. Yep, UB40. It'll help you relax.
I think this dude tried to go solo, like the leads, and it just didn't work out. Like, he had a couple solo CDs or albums, and it just didn't work out.
Did he really?
I think so.
Why? You have a good thing going. I never understood that.
Well, I don't think the band or the group is...
UB40 was huge. They had a couple together. Of good songs.
UB40 had a lot of good songs.
But they broke up eventually, right?
Yeah, but that's my point. Why doesn't go solo? Everybody? Right? Somebody asked on the text... can't they still possibly meet in the first round and settle it? And yeah, right now they're going to meet in the first round. And it doesn't look like that's going to change unless the Clippers start slipping and the Thunder stay hot. They won, you know, 6 of their last 10, but the Clips have won 7 of their last 10. So with a few games to go, I don't know that that's going to change. 2.5 games separates the two. So right now, yeah, you might get that. You might get... who knows, though? I mean, do you really declare the winner based off of who wins that series? Because for the season series, it's not even been close, really.
No. So. Well, there were some close games, but at the same time, I mean, look, we referred to it. The close game, Pat Beverly does the great one-on-one defense on Westbrook, shuts him down, and wins the one game. So they had some close games. Remember the second game, they had a double-digit lead. They were up the whole game, and they blew it. In the last couple minutes by not being able to score a basket. So I just don't think it'd be a contest now that the Rockets seem to be clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, Clarence has been holding a while. Clarence, we appreciate it. Checking in with you, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Clarence? How's it going, man?
Doing great. Now, with James Harden taking Sunday off because of his little flu bug, don't you believe the Rockets should go ahead and limit his minutes until the playoffs? Because let's face it, we all see that they're probably going to give the MVP award to Westbrook for his triple-double streak. So do you believe that he should take a break or what?
I've been saying it all along. I think that the one thing that makes this whole situation precarious for him is that he went out and said – He's not about taking games off, and that's when you're healthy and you want rest. You know, that's the whole LeBron thing that's been the big hot button in the NBA. But when you're actually legitimately hurt or you're suffering, then you need to take time off. And Barry and I think we went over this last week in detail, but when you're going to be the 3 seed no matter what you do, when you know where you're going to be and you know basically what you're going to have to do is just be healthy – he should take all the time off he needs to take off. However, the caveat also becomes the MVP race is now going to be a factor too. And there's going to be a lot of pressure to say, I better play and play well late to make that push that I need to do as well.
And don't get it twisted. The MVP is just as important to the Rockets as it is James Harden.
You better believe it.
And they both want him to win that award. And I'm sure someone like Mike D'Antoni doesn't care as much. I think now he's a player's coach and he wants his guys to get, but I think he also is looking long term. And I don't know that I would sit Harden, but I would certainly, as Nick so eloquently put it last week, limit his minutes.
Yeah,
because what you don't want to do is sit him for 3, 4, 5 games, and now he's not in sync and he's out of tune and he's a bit rusty.
Yeah.
Let him go in there in the first and third quarter. Let him start and finish the game, and maybe he sits out the entire second and third quarter, no matter what happens.
You have limited minutes.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Nick.
What's up, buddy?
Give me a little, on next outro, give me a little Phil Collins, Easy Lover.
Okay, man. We'll play. We might play it before we go to break.
Clarence, don't sell Philip Bailey short in that either now.
I'm not going to sell him Philip Bailey.
You're an Earth, Wind, and Fire guy. That was a duet. Oof. That was a duet with Phil Collins.
That song, man.
Yes, he did.
He made that song. And don't let all of this distract you from the fact that the Falcons blew a 25-point lead. So, you guys, see y'all later.
Love me some Clarence, man. That is a good, good dude.
Gotta
right
love
there.
Clarence
came in and talked to everyone. Hey, what's up, Joel? Barry, how's it going? Nick, how's it going, man? Then he pulled the pin from a grenade and ran out, threw it and just took off running.
You know? Threw it
that
and he was
is
gone.
So funny, man. That's right, hilarious.
That's awesome. Austin wants to get in here before the break. Let's get him in real quick. Austin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I wanted to chime in on the whole MVP talk. I can look at it from two ways, and I really always have. I've grown up just kind of always watching sports, but I guess part of my early teenage years really started, like, analyzing. I just wanted to pay attention, and I'm huge on numbers speak. You can't argue with facts. So the fan side of me completely get why Russell Westbrook is probably going to win the MVP. Now, the analyst and the analytics side of me sees why Harden could get it. I agree that when Steph won it way back when, over Harden, love Steph, don't agree with that choice at all. I know it would be very difficult, but I believe that somebody could in turn come up with some, not necessarily a criteria or a formula, but if Harden does X and the rest of the Rockets roster does Y, and at the end of the year, on paper, hey, this guy does more for his team when he's on the court. When he's off the court, his team is significantly worse. But at the same time, if something like that were to come up, you could watch the entire year, and at game 50, you could go, yeah, if it quit right now, on paper, Harden's MVP. So if you did that, it kind of takes away the whole, yeah, we think Russell's probably going to win it, but Harden could. So it takes away that little surprise element and kind of, especially when we have a two-man race like this. Other years, obviously, it's been a breakaway type thing. But I get where they're coming from. I just wanted to see what your guys' take on was on. I know there's not necessarily a criteria, but in theory, it would be very difficult to do. But don't you agree that somebody could not necessarily create a formula, but as a team, if they played a certain way, now nobody would play for their teammate to get the MVP. But does it make sense to you guys that there, in theory, is a way that you could formulate how to get the MVP? I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Austin. I don't know that you can, Joel. I don't know that you can. Joel is laying down on the studio floor.
Did he pass out? Is he alive?
I don't know. Revive him. I specifically remember seeing a do not resuscitate necklace. And if he doesn't have one, I'll find it later. Austin, I'm a numbers guy. I'm a stats guy. But I'll tell you, no, there's no way to put a formula to quantify who the MVP is, because you can't measure the intangibles of the sport and what makes these guys valuable. You can measure assists, but you can't measure what Harden does by the way he runs the office and sets up the high screen and roll or sets up the guys on the wing. He gets the ball to them, but there's other things that he does. You can't measure the fact that Russell Westbrook, when he's out there, is balling his ass off and he's playing harder than anyone else on the court. And yeah, you can, you know, the rebounds and everything from the hustle. But there's so much more to it than that.
And you're absolutely right.
I said Michael Westbrook.
You
know what the hell I mean? I said Russell.
That would be my job.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. There's a couple things. One, as a Rockets fan, don't hate on Russell Westbrook because he's having a hell of a season, because there's a lot of people doing that, including people that do our jobs on other states, which is ridiculous, okay? But here's the other thing. Barry, to your point exactly, and this is what people need to kind of digest, okay? There's a stat that says points per replacement player. which and as a team, you could say the Rockets are 7 points better with Harden on the floor per game than they are when he's not on the floor, right? But here's the stat they don't have, to your point. Points and or statistically, statistical category plus or minus playing with James Harden versus not, like Ryan Anderson. Is Ryan Anderson averaging 9 points a game with when James Harden is on the floor, but when he plays with James Harden, he's averaging 16 because he gets open shots because James draws the defense. That's stuff that they don't have statistical categories for. That's why it's so hard to define all of this.
Yeah, but I mean, and to that kind of along those same lines, you bring up an interesting point because I think we all can say, I think we can all say that James Harden has made the guys on his team a hell of a lot better.
Sure.
Can you say the same about Russell Westbrook?
I can with several players, including Steven Adams,
okay,
for one.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's interesting. But again, it's beauty for us, but it's painful when you try and figure out a formula. We've got a lot more show to get to. Half hour before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. If you want to be a part of it, like so many people have, hit us up on Twitter, get us with a text message, or call us 713-780-ESPN. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now, if anybody calls and says this is not a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you. This just is.
And I'm not a big U2 fan.
I'm not either.
But I love this song. You have to listen to the words of this song. And
thanks, Lisa.
They resonate with me. You know, everyone has those songs that you end up paying attention to the words. And then you just feel it. You know what I mean? They resonate with you. This is one of those songs for me. But, all right. And we won't kill my...
There's another U2... There's a U2 song on my play. And I'm with you. I'm not a... You're either like... It's like Pearl Jam and U2. They either have a... They have a cult following, or you might like a song here or there.
Yep.
But, yeah.
By the way, Albert Avila told me to tell you guys that doing a hell of a job. Keep
Thank
it up.
You. That's awful.
Keep it up, boys. Keep it up.
That's great.
Yep.
Right now, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture real quick. I keep telling you guys, locally owned and operated by the man, the living legend, Mattress Mack, who has always been a staple here in the Houston area. He now has 3 locations across the Houston area, so there's a location convenient to you. There's Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. There's the heart of the Galleria, Westheimer and Post Oak. And there's also the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Mack sits at the front desk at that location. He makes sure you get in touch with a salesperson that knows what they're talking about, is in touch with what you need, and get you a great deal on solid wood American-made furniture or the best furniture that you're looking for, like Macapita mattresses that start at just $19.99. You get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top. They got 2-for-1 recliners, as always. And again, they have American-made solid wood living room and dining room furniture. It's fantastic furniture. It's going to last, and you're going to return to Gallery Furniture when you need more furniture, because they have service before, during, and after the sale, and they're always going to make sure that they take care of your needs. Right now, Gallery Furniture has the largest selection of Made in America leather seating and special order upholstered furniture, as well as living room and dining room furniture, so you can enhance your home with solid wood dining room tables and chairs from Gallery, as well as living room furniture that will last a lifetime. I tell you this all the time, and what Max says is always true. You buy today, you get it tonight, and Gallery really will save you money. Before the break, we were talking a lot, Barry, about the MVP race. One thing we have omitted, that being our Houston Astros.
Yes.
We do agree on this, and we both love that team. But, boy, I can't tell you how glad I am baseball's back. And, again, I watched the whole game last night.
Yep.
And I am excited. I am pleased. And for everything that was a question mark so far, and, again, you said, we both said, it's only one game after the opener. But now it's only been 2 games. But
yeah.
those first two games couldn't have gone any better for Astros fans when you see the performances you got on the mound.
Yep.
And you saw the bats come alive in both games.
Well, they're on pace. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, don't be. Because that's been said a lot in the last 24 hours.
You know, it's actually, it's funny you bring up the bats because combined they've scored 5 runs.
But how they did it.
And they've given up 1.
Yeah.
And what's weird, though, is I would have expected them to be, you know, scoring more than they're scoring right now. Now they are using the long ball.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And we know they're going to do that. We know they're going to hit a lot of home runs. But I just felt like that there would be more offense generated. Now, again, I'm saying all this because I'm evaluating the last two games and not saying that it's anything else other than two games. It's just surprising. Just as surprising as it is to see that this pitching staff from top to bottom, both the starters and Keuchel and McCullers, as well as that bully, Gregerson going out there pitching his ass off. Giles looks like a legit closer out there.
It worries me still.
I mean, these guys, it's been a little bit different than what I thought, but they're playing as well as everyone
expected.
What
I liked from a pitching perspective, too, is they've battled back. When they get behind in the count, a lot of times you'll just see them where they can't find the zone. They're not afraid to put it somewhere in the zone and say, even if you hit it, I believe in my defense. You know, we're going to do whatever we need to do to get these outs. And you're right. Look, but I don't know if I'm different than you in looking at this team. I thought it was going to be more of like, you know, putting hits together, scoring runs after 3 or 4 hits in an inning. But I didn't see this as a big home run hitting team. The way that they've gone about their business the first two games with the long ball, to me, I mean, they say, you know, chicks dig the long ball, but I love the fact that they've got a lot of pop in the lineup, that they've done it with the home run, because I don't think there's a doubt you're going to get the guys hitting for average and putting together the innings with hits, but I'm a little bit more excited that there's more pop than maybe I thought about in this lineup.
And that it's a fair point. I think, though, that it's a team that, you know, what's the best way to put it? It's a bunch of guys that can hit 20.
Okay.
You know, it's no guy, no, you know, I don't think anyone's going to run out there and hit 45.
Right.
But I think top to bottom, other than Aoki, of course, I think all these guys are capable of hitting 20 home runs. And if you could get 8 guys that could hit 20 home runs,
Was it a couple years ago that they had, they almost set the record for how many guys on their roster that they had to have at least 10 home runs?
Yeah. I don't remember.
It was like two years ago, they had. Because everybody off the bench, Marwin had 10.
Yep.
I think Mariznick had 9 or 10.
Yep.
This is that kind of lineup to me, because they don't have an Encarnacion. They don't have Joey Bats. They don't have, you know, all these big-time Bryce Harpers or Mike Trouts. To me, that's what makes it more impressive, that they won the first two games with more of the long ball than put them together. And it's more exciting for me. I love watching baseball. You know we both do.
The funny thing is yesterday, when we were talking about the Astros and their lineup and the need for an ace, and I made the statement that I really believe that Lance McCullers, by the end of this season, will have established himself as the ace of this team. And I made that statement yesterday. And the hilarious thing is if you look at the front page of ESPN's Major Leagues, there's a story that says, where is it? It is, I just want to read the headline to you, because it's kind of ridiculous, even based off of what I said yesterday. Real or not, Lance McCullers, sleeper Cy Young contender. All right, ESPN, let's pump the damn brakes. It's a game. He needs to stay healthy. But I think if he can, that tells you right there what people around the majors think of what Lance McCullers could become.
He's got a live arm, man.
Yeah.
In the simplest terms. In the most convenient definitions.
I like
we
it.
We are.
Yeah, Breakfast Club, baby.
That's right. Breakfast Club, one of the all-time great movies. Nick, if you don't know it, please make sure you see it.
No, I love this movie. I've seen it.
That movie. All right, we got one segment left to go before we turn it over to Fred and AJ and the Blitz. So Nick, Barry, and I will be back in just moments right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we got one segment to go. It's been a fun show. This is kind of fun shows I like to have where we got a lot of input. We don't have to like stick to the just the headlines of the day, but we get the listeners to participate, and we also have some fun with the tunes.
Jump! You smoke crack, don't you? Jump! We need to get Trey to do that.
Hey, wait, Trey, by the way.
Lean on me?
He hung
when
up
they're,
on
when
us.
They're on the roof of the building? You like smoking crack, don't you? Jump! We need to get Trey to do that.
There's one of your movies. He was on hold. He was going to participate. And we scared him off because, remember, we asked the question in the Aha song. Could he hit the high notes?
I have a feeling.
Did he have to go back to school or something, maybe?
I don't know, but I'm guessing. You know, you get those vibes sometimes. I kind of had a feeling his call was going to suck and it would have brought the whole show down. So I'm kind of glad he hung up.
It also could have been that he was having a conversation between him in the car and it was about to get heated.
He was probably screaming in the car.
Did you guess what I just said?
Yeah.
He was having a conversation between him and him, and it was about to get heated. Yeah. So he had to get off the phone so he could start screaming to himself.
If I could just have an opportunity to go back to that day where he was screaming in the parking lot. I didn't have my phone ready. I usually have my phone ready to record anything.
You guys could have like hidden on the sides of the doors and just tried to listen in on what the heck was going on.
The last thing I expected was him driving in the parking lot yelling with the windows up and I could still hear him.
So good.
That was crazy.
Hey, Chris Sparks, he and I have been trading tweets. He said, I'm a Cavs fan. Harden sucks. With his arm flailing, cheap foul stuff, and everyone wants to say LeBron's a flopper. And I'm like, bro, they both are. Like, that's the truth. They both are.
See, the thing is, to me, there's a fine line between flopping and drawing a foul.
It's both cheap. They're both. Let's be real.
Is drawing a
foul
cheap?
By the letter of the law, it's a foul. But it's the cheapest foul in the NBA, and that would be fine if they stopped calling it.
All the charging fouls that you see called in the NBA, when the player falls back, did he really get knocked down off of his feet, or did he fall back off of his feet?
Well, not every one of them.
90% of them. When you do the super slow-mos they do now, you can see a lot of the guys start moving backwards before the contact. Yeah. But again, remember, what was it, 2 years ago when the fines were being flown around like paper money, like fake money, and they were fining everybody for flopping, and Scola started this along with Ginobili, but they haven't fined as many guys. And they've kind of gotten away from that, but it hasn't stopped anybody from flopping. And here's the other thing. For both guys, what's the biggest difference between the two who both do it? Westbrook looks like he wants to fight you after it happens.
Yeah.
And Harden wants to know if he didn't get the call, why, and he wants to... And he
and
kinda,
not get back on defense.
Yeah, and he doesn't get back on defense. So,
did you guys see the Lance Stephenson layup?
Yes.
What did you think? Was that a boo-boo?
That is the unwritten rule in basketball.
It's like bunting in baseball, being up by 12, right? And bunting for a base hit or something. I get it.
Or breaking up a no-hitter with a bunt.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, but, I mean, did you really need to have two guys get in his face? Because, honestly, if somebody would have done that to me and I'm Lance Stephenson, you don't have to like it. But if you get in my face like that, I'm punching someone. I'm not blowing in anybody's ear. I'm to start swinging because you guys are both rushing me. Well, no,
and he just walked away, which I was kind of surprised at.
And you look at it, DeMar DeRozan put hands on him.
Yeah.
That's one of those guys
and he didn't
probably
want to do
don't
with
want to put hands on unless you're expecting a fight.
I don't understand why he was so passive after that. Because I think as soon as
he realized
what he did, he was like, oh, they're right.
Because one of the guys I warned you guys about, PJ Tucker, did not even secure. No one was holding him back.
Called him classless.
And he kept going at him.
Even Paul George in his interview was like, that's Lance.
And the bad thing is, you know, you heard Lance's interview after the game, and he said, one, the fans were chanting my name. It was my first game back in the uniform. I was so excited, and I lost my focus. I shouldn't have done it. I apologize to the Raptors, blah, blah, blah. But at that time, the damage was done. And then, because it's post-game media time, everyone from Dwayne Casey to every player in the Raptors locker room used it as free open game on Lance Stephenson. To remind them of everything he's ever done and what kind of guy he is and kill his character. And that's a shame, but you have to remember and learn from that and go, there's just certain things you don't do.
Yeah. I agree, but I think they made a way too big of a deal out of it. But yeah.
You know, but,
don't do it and it's not a problem, right?
Yeah, and I was saying also, you know, a week ago, this is when Washington was getting blown out by the Warriors and the Warriors were still shooting threes and still trying to get Draymond triple-doubles and do things. And then the Warriors were like shrugging their shoulders, like, what's the problem? Well, let's go back to the first time when the Rockets were going to set the record for threes in a game at the Toyota Center, when it was against a Golden State Warriors team coached by Mark Jackson, that where Draymond Green never got off the bench. They literally put him in the game to try and be the goon that took out the next Rocket guy that tried to shoot a three, because they didn't want to be the team that got the record set on them after they were getting blown by 30, and that started the war. So what goes around comes around, people. That's what happened.
Yeah. Somebody texted in when we were talking baseball and said, dollar hot dog night. Now, Nick, are you going?
Rockets.
Oh, you're going to the Rockets.
I am not going to.
You've already chosen basketball.
Absolutely.
Over baseball.
Because well, like
I was going to ask you while you were at the game tonight on Dollar Hot Dog Night. And we can do this again because it's every Wednesday, I believe.
Yep, okay.
Is it every Wednesday now?
It is.
It used to be like only two or three Wednesdays.
It may be select. I thought it was every Wednesday, but they don't have games every Wednesday.
Which is weird on Dollar Hot Dog Night, because you would expect the stands to be more full. It's just that it looks empty. It looks half full, but it's because it's a bunch of fat people that have to buy two seats. All right, that was inappropriate.
But that's a good point. Go ahead.
So
go ahead.
Make your point. You're just so mean.
I didn't single anybody out.
You're
like,
so mean.
I didn't take
don't
a fat
bring
caller.
Richard's name into this.
Oh, that was wrong. Next Wednesday that you go, if I'm not there, I want you to take a picture of how many hot dogs you can fit in your mouth at one time.
Not happening. I hate hot dogs.
And tweet it out. You need to tweet that and see. I bet you could set a record.
No. Hate hot dogs. One of these days, I'm going to show you that documentary I watched about what goes into hot dogs.
Oh, thank you. You know, I told you,
when
we were
care.
Kids in Wisconsin,
you'll never have a hot
you
dog
had to
again.
Go to a field trip, and you had to go to find out what goes into hot dogs.
It could be the pig's penis and butthole.
Oh, my God.
I don't care. Hot dogs. I don't care. It could be a
pig's penis.
And hoof.
Nick,
and
on
hoof
the button.
And everything else. I don't. Pig hoof. I don't care. Pig,
so, have
pig
either
lips,
you had the hot pig, dogs that they serve in the media room at the Rockets?
Don't care. I had
would
two.
Would never
of
eat them.
Are
Craig
good?
Ackerman lives by them. I
oh,
will never
no,
no,
eat them. I didn't have those. No. I had the Astros.
Ackerman loves them.
Yeah, you saw the hot dogs in the Rockets. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about, right?
Yeah.
You haven't had those?
They say all beef, so it's actually just cow butthole instead of pig butthole.
Calvin Murphy and I have had this conversation many times.
Yeah.
But his definition, Nick, so that it isn't something that you have to, but he go, let me just tell you something right now. Everything from the rooter to the tooter, that's what they put in them hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see Calvin saying that.
Yep, he sure
I
would.
I don't care. I know hot dogs are gross. Don't care.
Don't be picking on me. I just like the taste.
I mean, there's other gross things out there, I'm sure, that you eat. Like, bacon is gross on
Nick
the body. I mean, I
don't
eat
bacon.
Bacon
Nick
but
bacon, bacon.
I mean, think about most meat. If you were to look at a cow, if you were to see them cut it up, that would be disgusting.
Totally. And chicken, I'm always kind of weary.
Chickens are filthy animals. Filthy. But you'll eat it. An egg comes out of a chicken's butthole, and you'll eat the egg. See?
Just like that.
Now.
But at least there's a shell.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hot dogs have like a casing.
I'll bring you a couple pig's penises from the game.
Oh, man. And on that note, let's just make sure we wrap it up. We've had a great show. We're having a good time. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it as well. We're going to do it every day, Monday through Friday, to try and please you, the listening audience, right here, the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.